This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. We are a couple of weeks away from Hollywood's big night, the Academy Awards. And that means that award season is in a kind of a lull right now. You know, you had your Golden Globes, you had your Screen Actors Guild Awards, you had your Directors Guild Awards. I think there was a Producers Guild Awards. I think every guild had an award along the way. But the big one, of course, is coming up in a couple of weeks. And here to discuss the award season and what it's going to mean, and the co-host of a show about that with my friend Leonard Maltin on Reels Channel this month is Gray Drake, who is the senior editor at Rotten Tomatoes. Gray, welcome back to America Weekend.
Oh, good to be back.
With 2 weeks to go, do all of those other shows that I mentioned affect what could happen in a couple of weeks at the Oscars?
I certainly think that they have a weight in them, of course. I mean, because usually opinions, you know how this goes. I mean, it's a popular vote, right? So if guilds are voting to make certain movies their top winner, then you can bet that those same people will be voting in the Academy Awards as well to make that same thing take the prize, I think. So the one interesting part about the Oscars is that the actors are the largest branch. And so those awards tend to surprise more often than not.
So can we take it from the Screen Actors Guild Awards that something there might be indicative of what's going to happen at the Oscars?
Yeah, that's probably, that's actually the best indicator, I think. And then there's always the DGA. The Directors Guild seems to nail every single year, almost, who is going to take home Best Picture. They have a great track record.
What was it this year?
Alfonso Cuarón won the Directors Guild Award for Gravity, which indicates statistically that Gravity will take home the Best Picture Award this year.
Okay. What were the big winners at the Screen Actors Guild Awards? I mean, have you paid attention to all of these winners?
Yeah, I do to some extent. It's enough to make your head spin after a while. But I know that the Screen Actors Guild, definitely, they awarded Cate Blanchett one of their top honors for her role in Blue Jasmine, which is well-deserved.
Oh, you know, let's talk about that, because when I saw that movie, and it's been out almost a year now, I said, this woman's going to win the Academy Award. It was just a phenomenal performance by a woman who's gotten tremendous respect from Hollywood through the years. But in the last month or so, there's been some controversy about Woody Allen. You know, the claims of the molestation from 20-plus years ago have been dug back up by Mia Farrow and her kids. And Woody has issued a reply in an op-ed in the New York Times. And do you think any of that rubs off on Cate Blanchett's chances because this was a Woody Allen movie?
It was. And this all broke just before the votes were supposed to be cast. And I don't think that it will have any effect on Cate Blanchett because there are so many different opinions about this. Such a terrible, terrible subject.
Yeah.
What an awful thing this is. And ultimately, I think that all of the conflicting emotions will not affect a performance that's, you know, everyone has acknowledged. I think these two things are separate. And she was so magnificent in the movie. She really took, it was like she just took acting to a whole other place at that point. She fully embodied this character, and she was so committed to this role. I think that will transcend, you know, this really awful piece of news that we've all seen.
Yeah, I hope so, because, as you say, it shouldn't detract from the amazing performance and the amazing talent of Cate Blanchett.
Absolutely.
Can we talk about some of the stuff that's out this week, which will never be mentioned in any award season anytime in the future? except maybe for the Golden Raspberry Awards?
Yeah, there's a movie this week that's so bonkers that it blows my mind.
Okay, what is it?
Winter's Tale. This movie is so bad, it's good. And I get the biggest kick out of trying to describe it to people when they ask me what it's about, because it's like a 15-minute long answer, and you can't even scrape the surface because this movie is crazy. And the book is really well regarded. It is a fantasy. It is a love story, but this movie that was adapted by Akiva Goldsman, who gave us the gift of some of the weaker movies in the Batman series,
mm-hmm.
the older one,
mm-hmm.
he just tried his little heart out. And you end up with a movie where Russell Crowe is a demon, and Colin Farrell is a guy with a really bad haircut that rides a Pegasus, and it's just such a weird movie. But it's a great romantic movie for people that love Colin Farrell and Jessica Brown Finlay, who is from Downton Abbey. You get plenty of them in the movie, but you also, like I said, get Pegasus and demons and all kinds of nutso stuff. It's kind of great in an awful way.
I hope it doesn't detract from Winter's Bone, the movie that put Jennifer Lawrence on the map. I hope years from now when people are looking on Netflix trying to find that one, they don't get this one accidentally and go, what was everybody talking about Jennifer Lawrence for? She's not even in this garbage.
Yeah, I don't think we're in any danger of that. And critics they're not loving this one. It has a 13% on our tomato meter. So as you know, like that's a percentage of positive reviews.
Yeah.
So we've got the other... 87%, and they don't like it. Oh, it's too bad for Colin Farrell.
Yeah. Now, there are three movies out this week that are remakes of movies that were okay the first time around, but Hollywood is obsessed with this reboot frenzy, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. You know, they always have been, to tell you the truth. Hollywood has insisted on remaking movies plenty of times since they started making films, and now... they are taking even fewer risks with original properties, and we get more weeks like this one where movies are remakes. But it's almost generous to call them a remake because the movie to begin with was such a vague concept. In the case of like About Last Night, for instance,
mm-hmm.
It's just a bunch of people sitting around talking about relationships. We've seen a million movies like that, so it's weird to me that they would want to call it About Last Night because honestly. What average moviegoer today remembers that movie from 1986?
Does it have any of the original David Mamet dialogue?
Yeah, Kevin Hart does a great job with David Mamet's dialogue.
I didn't know any. I actually liked the original movie with Demi Moore and Rob Lowe and Jim Perkins. Yes, I'm the one who saw this movie when it first came out because I'm a Mamet fan and I wanted to see what he had done there. But this one is nothing like that?
No, the original was kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
And About Last, this remake with Kevin Hart and Regina Hall is definitely a comedy. It's very R-rated and super funny. Now, those two aren't even the main characters, but they steal the entire movie, and it's so good because of them. The producers of this film also made Ride Along, which had a really strong run in January, mm-hmm. and also Think Like a Man, which has a sequel coming out this spring. And these guys make fun movies. They really are fun to watch with great casts, and About Last Night is actually my personal pick of the weekend, and it's also our critics' pick. It's 75% fresh.
Wow. What about the reboot of RoboCop?
Okay, now this is where I take issue with you having just said that these movies weren't good in the first place.
No, RoboCop I liked. About
Last
Night,
okay,
I
good.
Liked.
All right, well, you made a generalization, and I needed to bring it up again, because otherwise we were going to get in a fist fight.
Well, I think what I said was they were okay the first time around.
Now, RoboCop, the original, was great. It was not just okay. I respect you very much, but I will call shenanigans.
All right, fine.
The original RoboCop was really fun. That was my favorite part. Now, it was incredibly violent, but it had a really interesting political leaning it was very clear about. And it was a good time, just like Verhoeven's other movies.
Plus, a really good villain. I talk about this all the time. Those kind of movies need a really good villain, and Ronnie Cox was a really good villain.
Absolutely. And that's so basically just take all the good things that I listed and subtract them from this remake, and that's what you've got.
Oh, no!
Well, yeah, it's like I don't understand why in these meetings that all these Hollywood executives have, they make a list of the greatest things about an 80s movie and then cross them out and write the script from the lamest elements. It makes no sense. So RoboCop's not a bad movie. I didn't feel like I wasted my time watching it. I thought that the effects were really good. I loved how emotional this movie was. Like, it made a lot of sense that this guy was pretty distressed over having been turned into mostly a machine,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, you don't we do not have to explain the plot of this. Anybody who hears the name RoboCop and can't figure it out for themselves should not even go to any movie.
Yeah, no, that's a tough but fair point. And so I think those things were really good. Like, there are certain parts of this movie that made more sense than the original, and I think Joel Kinnaman is really good as RoboCop. Like, this movie also has Gary Oldman mm-hmm. as the scientist that kind of takes him to that place, and Gary Oldman obviously is always fantastic. The only problem at the end of the day with RoboCop is that there wasn't that much action. And the type of politics that they tried to inject into the movie, I thought were just a big yawn fest.
How many? What's it get on the tomato meter?
Right now, it has critics split straight down the middle, and it's just teetering between 49 and 50%. It's still rotten, but I mean, if you figure that means one out of every two people enjoyed it, that's not too bad. Those aren't terrible odds. I contend that this movie is way better than the reboot of Total Recall. Now, that movie, to me, was a disaster, whereas RoboCop at least has some good stuff about it and really, really good performances.
Also with Colin Farrell, by the way. Not on a good streak in Gray Drake's notebook, that's for sure.
I love that guy. I think that he's all class, but I'll tell you, he sure is in some strange movies.
Last movie I've got to ask you about, the remake of Endless Love, which was a Brooke Shields movie in 1981, that actually included early roles for Tom Cruise and James Spader. That's exactly everything I know about this movie, the original, and I'm telling you, I'm not going to see the reboot, but you tell me if it's worth it.
No, you're not missing anything. You just saved yourself some money, my friend.
Oh, good.
Endless Love, exactly the same problem as RoboCop. The book that both were adapted from and the plot of the original has some interesting points to it, right? A 17-year-old kid, and he's in love with like a 15-year-old kid, which is creepy to begin with, and he has this bright idea that because her family hates him, that he's going to set their house on fire and be the one to save them?
Mm.
Like, I'm actually kind of into that. Okay, like, I think that makes for an interesting movie, because the question I'm asking the whole time is this guy hot enough for me to deal with his craziness?
Well, he's an arsonist, so that makes him hot.
Yay, you said it. So, in this remake, where Alex Pettifer plays, you know, that same role, he doesn't set anything on fire. It's a bummer. This movie could have been so much more interesting, but all it ends up being is a really kind of lame Romeo and Juliet movie and story without anybody saying thee or thou.
And the tomato meter says?
Oh, Lordy. The tomato meter, only 14%. It's definitely way, way, way rotten. And ultimately, if you are not 18 or below, then you washing your socks is probably more interesting than this film.
Wow. All right, we're going to leave it at that. The new Reels Channel special is called Award Season 2014 Winners and Losers with Gray Drake and Leonard Maltin. It's airing first time today on Reels Channel, and then over the next couple of weeks, many reruns, not reboots, but reruns right up until the Academy Awards. Gray Drake is senior editor at Rotten Tomatoes. Always a pleasure. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. This is a good way to cure my love hangover.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.